New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. So now get two snack wraps plus fries and a medium soft drink for just $8.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
And welcome to another episode of Chatty Broads with Becca and Jess.
Hey, Broads.
Hello, Broads.
We're back. Here we are.
We're back.
Post a fun recap. I'm sure we're actually recording this before the recap, so I'm sure the episode was crazy.
I'm sure it was wild. I'm sure Luke did something.
I'm sure
Hannah was great.
Yeah.
Et cetera.
Classic. Hopefully there wasn't another recap in the recap. Whatever happened.
Yes, that was a nightmare.
But today we have a very special episode that I'm very excited about.
We're joined by a few broads.
Yes, we are. Listen, it's been a long time coming and we've been wanting to do this. Obviously, we had the Dating with the Dudes that we did and had some of our significant others and a couple of the guys on, and we've been wanting to have a queer discussion panel. And initially we were like, hey, let's have a dating panel. And we still will do that. But when we saw a few of the DMs and the messages that we were receiving, we kind of wanted to just have a jumping off point with a few of our guests.
Yes. And I think this will be great too, because a lot of our sexuality podcasts have episodes have been focused sort of from a cis hetero perspective.
Exactly. Exactly.
And, so we're always talking about boyfriends and girlfriends and.
Yeah. And I know that we have a good handful of broads who are part of the queer community. So like, let's represent right now and introduce.
And most people know someone who is a part of the queer community.
We all know someone.
At least one.
Even if you don't know, you know.
The 7 degrees of queer.
I have a friend who's queer. I'm an ally.
Speaking of that, let's introduce. Okay, so the first person that we have to introduce, if you guys have not listened to our God, Church, and the Broads episode, missing out. It's one of my favorite, and we were joined by one of my best friends, Valerie Franco.
Hi.
Say hi, baby.
Hi, babies. Hi, Broads. Good to be back.
Oh, and now you can also watch on the YouTube, too, so you can see what
see. We did get a few DMs slid into after we posted your photo, and a few of our broads were like, excuse me, can you give her digits out? I'm like, you're going to have to request those from her.
Do the footwork.
Oh, wow. Slide into my DM.
Yeah, exactly.
At C. Valdrome. She's single.
She's single. She's ready to mingle.
Let's go. Yes. Come on, broads.
Let's do it.
Ready, broads?
Are you ready, broads?
Are you ready, broads? Start broadening.
So Valerie. We're Valerie. And then Tori.
Hey, Tori.
Hey. Tori, let's just give a little bio since a lot of our broads know about Valerie already. Tori, what do you do? Tell us a little niblet about you.
Well, I create music and sing. Well, it might not be me, but I open up a channel so that something comes through me. Sounds nothing like my speaking voice.
God, that's
very confusing.
Beautiful.
Ooh, deep.
It's true. Yeah, I spend a lot of time doing that and connecting and talking to my parents on the phone, drinking coffee, you know.
Love Tori that. And I play together.
Yes.
Yes.
We have a project with Mike Zombie.
Yes.
Who he's best known for the track Started From the Bottom, Now We're Here.
Yes. And if you have the opportunity to see them play, it is, whew.
It's really
have
fun.
Have you ever come with me, Becca?
No.
No, okay.
It's so powerful.
And honestly, I probably won't be anytime in the next few months.
There's a baby, but after the baby. But if you guys ever have the opportunity, fantastic. And last but not least, there's Lee.
Hi, guys. My name is Lee Dawn Hershey. I'd like to say jack of all trades. I am an actor and a model and business entrepreneur. I own an all-female entertainment production company by the name of Girls with Flair. And basically, my goal in life is just to find that raw talent and pure passion and compassion in women that they suppress because of life, because of bills, because of everyday grind, and are afraid to take that leap because of the what if. When I stand in the middle of the what if and hold their hands and get them from point A to point C without the B, which is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And you
know, okay, that's a good tagline.
Yeah, it's going to trademark that.
Put that in your bio. Yeah.
Yeah, it is actually. It's good. On the record. But honestly, you know, I like what Tori said is I feel as though there are a few souls inside of my body navigating at once, and they're just trying to figure out what's going on, and I'm just trying to listen to all of them and not be afraid and be myself, and it's evolving and growing every single day. So it's, yeah, that's me. I'm just out here in LA from Texas. Woo-hoo. Texas babe doing it.
I was just amazing. In Texas last week for the first time. I was in Austin.
Oh, the best.
It was Austin rules. So fun.
Austin
so fun.
Is shit. So fun. Basically, Austin is like the Silver Lake East Side here.
Yeah, yeah, and, okay.
I got that vibe.
Or Long Beach, honestly.
Sure.
They definitely have a lot of similarities. But I grew up in South Houston, born in Abilene. But I moved out from Austin because, like, all the queers, everybody,
of course,
you're different,
the queer oasis.
Yeah, I mean, wow. You moved
the
to
misfit
Austin,
oasis.
You get away.
Yeah, yeah, amazing. Yeah. It was awesome. Also, the flights were like $150 round trip, yeah. And I was so, like,
not
sweet.
Bad.
It was wonderful. I wasn't expecting to love it the way I did. It was great.
It makes
anyway.
My heart warm. It's the best. Yeah, that's me. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank Those you. Are some of the best intros we've heard.
Yeah,
Lenny was just like, "This is me." Silence. You're giving us mantras and mottos. I'm living. So okay. Speaking of now having this discussion panel and a lot of our listeners who were sending in questions, a lot of them were asking, how do I properly ask someone in a non-awkward way what their pronoun is? So do you want to start
how,
giving
yeah, how
us
do they
your
identify
pronouns?
Themselves?
Yeah, not only your pronoun and also maybe, yeah, how do you ask someone without feeling uncomfortable? Because
oh,
I know
I just
a lot
ask.
Of, you just ask?
Yeah.
What's your pronoun?
Honestly, okay. I mean, that's straight to the gate.
Yeah.
You just.
I don't think anybody's going to be offended by that.
No, honestly, I mean, I'm situational. So that means, like, we're sitting here and, you know, if I'm best representing and identifying right now as feminine, like, I mean, but look at my legs. They're crossed. I'm feeling kind of, I mean, I look like a farmer right now. You know? So I woke up on the more masculine side today. And but I just want it to be situational of our moments that we share together, you know. So even from the very moment, anything, even the eye contact, whatever that felt, if that felt feminine or masculine to you, I want you to exercise what we're giving each other in that moment. You know, but again, a question.
That's interesting. I've actually never heard that before.
Yeah, I'm trying to exercise that right now. You know, I just feel as though it's so fluid. It's always changing, you know, but I don't take offense to it. Obviously you come in a derogatory manner. We're going to have a problem, but
yeah,
you just fought so long. My life to be this lesbian queer that I'm like, whoa, dude, you were the only one slapping labels on yourself the most, you know, because you were so scared.
Right.
Chill the fuck out, you know. Yeah. Sorry with my mouth.
Oh, no, okay. you can swear as much as you'd like. Yeah.
Well, there's a baby
we're good.
In the room.
That's okay. She's not picking up any words yet.
And she might be swearing with what she's all saying over here. Who knows? Yeah, right. Wow. Okay,
she's got her toe in her mouth.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, she's going.
So basically, maybe I heard you incorrectly, but basically you want the other person that you're having a dynamic with to sort of like just feed off of whatever, pick up whatever you're putting down.
I feel that big time. I think it's like a projection almost. I look forward to feeling how someone's feeling me. Yeah. You know?
I want your whole honest right now, you know, because people are so quiet. We keep so much in and, you know, like the sad thing is just a question. What are your pronouns? It's just like other people asking you, you know, like,
right.
Isn't it funny how much of an issue people have with it too, where it's really like something so simple and people are like, well, I don't have to be expected to like,
it's so touchy.
Yeah. Why? Like, I mean, and we make nicknames for all kinds of things every single day and people are comfortable repeating that nickname or that made up word for something, but they can't. You know,
yeah,
you can't say all genders or folks or individuals.
I think it really is coming from fear, though. I don't think it's really it's not an inconvenience thing. We do plenty of inconvenient things all the time just to accommodate other people.
Mm-hmm. And it's when you don't understand, too. It's like I think it's a lot of people who maybe aren't unintentionally not educated in it. And there's that concern of like, I don't want to offend.
Well, even being in my body, you know? I'm like, I still slip constantly about myself, about other people. No, it's not like I'm a master because, you know, I still have to recondition and also feel comfortable enough with being so fluid, you know, because that's been, you know, I've been she, or sometimes I get sir. That makes me really excited. I want to go stretch all the way to the other end and then turn around, look them in the eyes, and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, it's like, it's okay, you know.
Blow minds.
I've been having fun with just addressing everyone as they as much as I can. Yes. Their name and they. Just because now we're like really giving an opportunity for everyone to just, you know, choose their outfit when they wake up in the morning, you know?
Oh my God, my matter. Heart.
I know. Yeah. Well, yeah, I remember so having that conversation with Valerie. Like, I was, you know, again, Becca and I, we've talked about this many times on our podcast. We were both raised in extremely conservative Christian homes. And until recently, like, you know, we were able to make that how we, like, you know, kind of create our own story, basically. And it's been a journey for both of us. And with Valerie in my life, who also, you know, was very heavily involved in the church, I remember having that conversation about pronouns and about non-binary people. And I was like, how do I say, like, they just doesn't roll off the tongue. And I remember you looking at me and being like, you say they all the time.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Yes.
You do. And I was like, and it blew my mind and it sounds so simple, but I was like, oh my God, I do. I refer to myself, I'll say they about my husband, about my dad. Like, I say it all the time. Why is there that block? Yeah. And as soon as you said that to me, it was kind of like
awareness.
Oh. Yeah. That was the biggest thing for myself. Word, yeah. Because I dated a non-binary person for a while. Mm-hmm. And that's why this conversation started to come up. It was just like, oh, I started saying they and people were like, are you dating more than one person? Like, are you dating a group of people? And then I just had to be like, yeah, well, you say, oh, I was hanging out with Valerie. They are a drummer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, you say that all the time, like, colloquially, like, it's conversational, but there's a lot of people that are like, oh, but the grammar of they, them is bad. I'm like, language
for
evolves.
How many people who say there and spell it, you know, come on, guys.
You want to talk grammar.
From now on, you have to know all three theirs and your before you can say that they argument has
don't
no
even
rate.
Talk to me. Don't even look at me.
Now,
don't even
look at me. I will say, I didn't find out the sex of my baby before I had her. And then when I was pregnant and I was saying they, then that gets a little, that was the one scenario where I was like, that gets a little confusing. I'm not having twins. Everyone's like, oh, you have two. But that's like the only scenario.
I met a they, them baby and I still just, you know, it's they're full on they, them baby.
That's
and I
amazing.
Love it. Wow. Their name is Delu.
Whoa.
Born. They, them.
Wow.
Yeah, so cool. You know what it is that's such cool. a beautiful, you know, you recognize that gender and sexuality are just separate. Mm-hmm. And that's the most confusing part. Yeah. Like, there are so many people who identify in some kind of way.
Yeah.
Gender. Mm-hmm. Some gender that has nothing to do with their orientation. They could be heterosexual. They, them.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, and that's what I think, at least, like, my parents are like, so what does it mean? Like, they're gay? And it's like, well, no, not at all.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to mean anything about sexuality at all.
So that's what my sister is dating somebody who's non-binary, and it gets a little confusing because she's been dating them since high school, and everyone used to refer to them as he, and so then it's kind of like, well, what? Now I'm supposed to, like, change the way I was talking to this person. Anyway, the biggest question I get is
the answer is yes.
Yeah. Probably the biggest question I get is, so is your sister like a lesbian? Because like because they wear dresses. So it's like, no.
Why does it why? They're just exercising their life and in general, just like creative flow of who they are inside. And it's like, why are we trying to, again, put labels or like...
We have boxes because they make us feel more comfortable. Oh, so then we feel safer if we can, like, put somebody in this place where we understand them.
Yeah.
And if we can't do that, then it's kind of like a glitch where we're like, I don't know
it's
how
it's easier
to
dislike people when you can put them in boxes.
Whoa. Yeah.
Just recently went back to...
Right.
Dang.
I just recently went back to Texas and... I have been using my true name, which an individual, I feel as though they gifted me this name that I feel has been inside my entire life. But my birth name is Felicia, and never ring, hated it, and got made fun of a lot when I was growing up, and especially when... Friday came out, you know, that just really, really was awful.
By Felicia every day.
Oh my God.
You only get one. And so, you know, it's what I found was really hard was whenever my sisters and my old family that I haven't seen in 10 years, people that have no idea that, you know, aren't on Facebook or Instagram that know that I'm, you know, gender fluid and they don't even know what gender fluid is. They, they didn't even know what quinoa was. Can we talk about it? My dad's like, is that something queer? Is that like, is that something queer? And I was like, no, Dad, it's food. And he's like, all right. Well, I just didn't know if I needed to learn something else. I'm like, good God. So what's
at least he asked.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, I know, for real. Shit, oh, my yeah. goodness. Well, that's awesome.
Is that something yes. queer?
And it's hard because, you know, like, there's so many stories and, like, they're constantly inserting Felicia. And it's like, no, guys, like, I know that we're telling this story, but, you know, it's we have to practice this. We have to keep practicing it because you're not going to, you know, it's not going to ring true in your heart if you still see me and view me as this person, even if you are telling old stories, you know. And I this could be different for everyone, yeah. you know, but for me, it was really, really hard because, you know, that was never me. You know, I was never Felicia. I was always Lee. And I'm still, we're like dealing with that right now and, you know, not holding it against them, but, you know, trying to raise as much awareness as possible. But I'll tell you one thing. When my little nieces were like, Aunt Lee, Aunt Lee, aww. To the point where I was like, oh, you know, I was like, holy shit, man. Like, they are really using it. And it's such an honest, like, okay, we'll call you that, you yeah. know? And it wasn't like, I wasn't getting questioned, you yeah. know? And
oh my goodness.
It's just like, I mean,
it's emotional.
Extremely. Yeah. And, you know, so there's so many struggles with just a fucking name, with yeah. just something small. People yeah. don't understand what kind of movement and what kind of impact it makes on people.
And yeah. like your family has to, or not your family specifically, or just like a family kind of trying to understand and accept, they have to mourn Felicia. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the death of who they thought you were.
Exactly. Right.
Which is crazy to really think about, because if you were in there all along, it's more about like the mourning of, I mean, you becoming free yeah. in yourself.
It's almost a mourning and a celebration. Right. And, yeah. You know.
Because it's not just the death of the death. big air quotes for those of you not watching. The death of Felicia, it's the birth of Lee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At last.
True.
So yeah.
I want to ask then each of you individually, like, about a little bit, like, how you, when you first knew that you felt something a little bit different than maybe, well, I don't know actually how all of you were raised. So for me, it's like, you know, standard conservative Christianity. That's that talk coming out. But mm-hmm. I want to hear about that in just a second. But first, we got to pause because we have to
talk about wine.
We have to talk about our new obsession. The company I've literally been telling everybody about. It's First Leaf Wine Club. Listen, typically me choosing what bottle of wine to buy at the store looks like me scouring the cheapest wine section and then picking that based on how cute the label is. A lot of the time it results in me feeling very blah about the wine I choose. But with First Leaf, that's not a problem anymore.
No more $2 chuck for you.
No more $2
chuck
for
me. So here's how it works. I went online and I took the First Leaf quiz. That figures out your wine preferences, from the sweetness to the wine styles to how adventurous you are and more. From there, they immediately created an introductory wine 6-pack for me, all for just $29.95. These wines normally go for at least $20 a piece, so you could say this is a deal. That's a mm-hmm. bit of an understatement. $5 a bottle.
So our first shipment of wines arrived, and we drank them all up. Delish.
In one night.
In one night, we drank all 12 bottles combined between us. We were able to go back online and rate which ones we liked and didn't like. Personally, there was one that was way too acidic for me, so I gave it a thumbs down. And in my next shipment, they didn't include any wines with super high acidity. It was amazing. So First Leaf actively crafts your perfect case of wine. Honestly, or if you're a wine drinker or have a friend or family member who is one, this deal is a no-brainer. Six typically $20 bottles of wine for $5 a piece.
Sign up with our link and you'll get an exclusive intro offer. 6 bottles of wine for only $29.95 plus free shipping. Just go to tryfirstleaf.com/chatty. That's 6 bottles of wine for only $29.95 plus free shipping at tryfirstleaf.com/chatty.
Amazing. So Valerie, I know we talked about it a little bit in our God and the Broad Church episode, but you want to touch base for a hot minute about, you know, either when you knew that you were queer or when you decided to come out.
Yeah, those are two very different times. Yes, I know. For me, it was realizing I had this pattern, and I know a lot of you queer girls out there feel my struggle on this, The falling in love with the best friend. Present company excluded. Well, included. I'm in love with you, hopelessly.
Thank
forever,
you so
Jess.
Much.
Hopelessly.
I was like, excuse me.
Yeah, I'm the secret throuple with her and Evan.
Obvious. Not secret.
No, I mean, it happened for me like 4 times in a row where I'd have these intense best friendships. And then they would end up coming up to me because they felt this safe space because we're spending every waking minute together. We're talking on the phone all the time, like inseparable, codependent, all that stuff. And then they come out to me. And then because of what I believed, what I sincerely believed, that if I act on this, we are going to hell, the both of us. Because of that, I would ghost them. I was like, we are going to hell if I say yes to this. So I just martyred myself to the relationship. It's very melodramatic.
Were they ever like saying that, insinuating that you were gay? Like, do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Okay. Oh, it's in the eyes. They're like, I'm gay. And like with the lean
long
in
pause,
with
yeah.
the lean in, like
the because long pause.
It because the tension was there.
Yeah. It's cool. Love the long pause.
Oh,
love
the long pause.
Love
the
love
eye.
It. Love it. Love it.
And I would just be literally, I think to one of them, I was just like, that sucks. Let me pray for you. Like it was like that.
Yeah.
With one, yeah. Gut punch. And then to all of them, it was just a cold, we're done. I never text back. I never call back. And again, this is from like, we're talking every day. We're inseparable. And I have since made amends to all of these wonderful women. One of them I ran into at a queer party.
Nice.
You were bartending there, actually.
Which one?
It was
like the backyard version of
what was that
Wait,
party?
Was it
that,
Cinco de Mayo?
No.
It was a milk party, huh?
It was a milk, but it wasn't at Bardot.
Got it.
It was at the one closer to like mid Hollywood.
No vacancy?
It wasn't no vacancy. It was some rented out spot.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, you were bartending there.
That's okay.
Anyways, I ran into her there and she goes, what are you doing here?
I love it.
And yes. And I immediately was like, yo, I have to apologize to you. Apologize. She got it. She was raised in the church too. She was just like, I knew you weren't ready. You have to be ready. And I just, in each of those cases with these wonderful, beautiful women, I was not ready. They were ready, clearly. And I'm like, saluted them. But I also believed wholeheartedly that if I acted on this, we were going to like eternal damnation. Like, that's it. So I was just like, if I have the self-control to walk away, I'm going to. And I did. So I did. Yeah. So and I've since like gotten together with the other two and been like, same thing. Like I was not ready. Clearly this was a thing. And I had to confront what that pattern was in myself and go, this is not a coincidence, Valerie. Mm-hmm. Like this is who is drawn to you and who you are drawn to. Like this is just happening. And that same magnetism or whatever you want to call it did not happen with me in men. I've had like one or two like things with men and it was never anything like there was nothing. There was no like
nothing spark. Satisfying.
Yeah. But with women, it just like made sense. And then I had to confront that again when I started dating a non-binary person. And then I did have people asking me, well, what does that make you? And I'm like, I don't know.
A unicorn?
Yeah. Exactly. Special.
Absolutely fucking fantastic. How do you feel?
Yeah.
Wait, can I ask you a question?
Yes. Ask away.
Do you ever have any like lingering feelings about going to hell?
Sure.
Like sometimes it like you feel it in your body like.
Yeah, because it's ingrained.
Because it's fear.
Yeah.
I have
yeah,
the same.
It's ingrained. Yeah.
You do? Yeah. Were you raised? You were raised differently, Tori.
I was.
You
differently.
Were. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were you raised
in? What
like?
Way? Well, I mean, I was raised by a family that's definitely not into this kind of thing. My immediate family is so loving, and they haven't pushed anything on me at all. Period. They've just been really, you know, the best. But
they're so great.
That's amazing.
Your family's great.
Man. I saw a photo. I think it was of your father wearing like the same war paint makeup as you, and I wanted
to
start bawling.
Yeah. I
can't. That's a great photo.
It's a whole. It's hard. There's not enough time to get into how crazy it is.
It was like, oh my god.
The thing is my mom, her father left when she was really young, and he left for a man, and so like that in itself has just kind of like trickled in our whole family of like, that's disgusting, and you know. So I've kept it to myself the whole time, except for my parents. Like, my mom and dad definitely, like, you know, same thing. Best friend, sleepovers, forget it.
Yeah.
But
extended eye contact.
Yeah. I mean, in the same way, though, about gender and, like, just how I identify and everything, I haven't really shoved myself into any kind of box at all. I'm just existing, you know?
That's beautiful.
I mean, it feels, I don't know. I noticed, you know, your question originally, like, when did you recognize that you may have felt weird? You know, I definitely felt like a cucumber in a pickle jar, like in the girls' locker room, you know, like
still do.
I'm not supposed to be in here. Not because I felt like, you know, anything other than that I'm not them, you know, I don't belong in the men's one. I definitely don't belong in this one. And I don't know, like, where to go, you know. And to be honest, I didn't go to school. Like, I stopped going because I just felt so out of place. There was no one to relate to. I stayed up all night and then would, like, sleep during school.
Where did you live?
On Long Island in New York.
Okay.
And, so the second I could, I just booked it across the country with my first girlfriend. Mm-hmm. We were closeted. We shared a bedroom and had two twin beds, but like when the door shut, we were in mine.
Oh my god.
Oh, you were going for
you wouldn't
years.
Even push them together.
Bro.
You just would do the full cut out.
Bro,
push them together.
Bro, I see you.
Right?
I see
also,
you.
Also, I'm like, come closer. You know, it's like, oh, too bad, twin bed. Too bad. Wish it was bigger. But yeah. And then, you know, being in San Diego and like finding myself and being free in that. Thank heavens.
Another thing that I think a lot of people who are non-binary encounter is I get this question a lot too about my sister's partner, because the funny thing is no one's gonna ask her about it. Everyone's gonna ask me her sister because they feel uncomfortable. Exactly.
It's not even in I want to have awareness raised.
It's curious. It's gossipy. It's like wanting to get exactly. And it is also genuine curiosity, because it is something a lot of people don't understand. So they're like, I don't know if I'm going to be rude, but like, can you tell me? Because like, I just want to know.
When you should
what
just
happens.
Be open, like, and honest, and they would respect the shit out of you.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
At least you're trying.
Totally.
Showing up is half the fucking battle here, guys. You
know? Just and being honest, like, I don't know very. Like, can you help me?
Yeah.
But the difference is that some people come with the premise that they're that they want to know, but then they're like, but what if, and then it kind of turns into this like debatey thing. So then people always ask me, so are they going to transition, like are they gonna have surgery?
Yeah, instantly.
Are they gonna get boobs now since they wear a skirt? Like, you know, and that's something. So maybe you guys can speak to that. Like, how would you address people who think that their genitalia is directly linked to how they identify with
My dad
gender.
Is terrified. Were you finished? I want to make sure
I'm
you
done.
Were finished.
All
are you
set.
Sure?
Yeah. Let's go.
Okay, making sure. All right.
You are cool as a cucumber in a pickle jar.
Totally. That's why I like you so much. Obviously, you know, I said I was born in Texas and I was raised Southern Baptist.
Everybody deep breath.
Instantly, out of all things, I'm like, you know, went to church about 3 times a day when I lived in the farm area with like my mom, my dad, my immediate family. We would go to Southern Church of Christ, and queer was not a thing. I grew up hearing my dad bash trans, anything, transvestites, you know, it was just always a negative thing. And I remember my dad and my stepmom got together. My stepmom's ex-husband, his sister, transitioned. So I only knew them as the male. But I remember my dad, you know, all the time, like, making fun of them. And I just remember at an early age, I was most likely about five. I always wanted to play the dad. I always wanted to be the brother. When my dad would leave for work, I would put on his cowboy boots. And, and like, I put on his belt buckle. And I would fake shave and, like, slick my hair back in the mirror. And, like, I just felt like me. And my sister would always make fun of me and be like, why do you always want to be a boy? And I'm like, just leave me alone. Like, you need a dad. Yeah. Like, let me play the dad. Like, yeah, this isn't about anything else other than playing.
I'm getting so here, in character.
You know? So, you know, there's always that. And the first time I had a feeling about a girl was actually my second grade teacher. And she was helping me with my speech, because I had a really bad accent, and it was real bad. I used to call my daddy, daddy, and of course got made fun of a lot. So I put myself through speech class, and this woman would stay after school with me, and she would help me with my speech, because my parents weren't around anyway. So I fell in love with her, and it was to the point where I didn't want to go to the next grade. I was scared to, because I thought she was never going to be there again. And it's a little emotional. Sorry, guys. So I suppressed it and didn't act on it. I never kissed anyone. I never fell in love with any of my best friends because I was always afraid that they were going to know. And so just like Tori, you know, in the dressing rooms, I always changed it in the shower. And it wasn't because I was attracted to these females. It was just the fact that I wanted to respect them. And even for a slight to know that they could be scared, you know, I never wanted to put that on anyone. And I came out my junior year. I got caught making out with the homecoming queen. At my homecoming party, and I'm sure everyone who listens to this is going to be like, oh, shit, dude, I remember that. Because nobody in my school was queer. I went to a big 5A in League City, Texas, and the only queers were, you know, the goth kids, and they just, you know, they got made fun of so much, and I was like, mm-mm. Was that kid that was always fluid in every group and just would, you know, because if I picked a group, then people were going to find out some way, you know? So, like, I just tried to be anywhere and everywhere I could, you know, we could put their finger on me. And so came out my junior year, and it actually made a ripple. And a lot of athletes after that started coming out. And it wasn't an easy thing, because that night, a best friend of mine from the first grade got 4 dozen eggs, and she egged my Jeep, my prized possession. It was my everything. The doors were off of it. The top was off of it. And mind you, I'm having this big-ass party, so I sleep in until, like, 2 the next day because I'm hungover. And I go outside, and there was so much damage caused to my Jeep inside and outside from the eggs, because it had been baking in the sun, and it's Texas, that I called her mom and was like, hey, you guys have to pay the damages. This is unacceptable. And I'm trying to keep it low key because my parents still don't know. My parents are out of town. After all this is going down, I'm throwing this huge party, and then I come out, holy shitballs, like, my life is over. I'm going to die, and now I'm going to hell, like, literally in a weekend. So,
hope it was a great weekend.
Oh, it was a banger. And so people still talk about this party, all right? And
I want to go to that party. Yeah.
We're going to redo it, actually. I'm going to make a film out of it one day. So, long story, the next football game, there weren't as many people there. And I was like, where is everybody at? And all through the week, you know, people had been bumping their gums, talking shit. And Ashley's going to kick your ass. Ashley's going to kick your ass. I was like, well, Charity egged my Jeep, so bring it on. You know, like, I'm not going to go after her, but if this is what's going to happen, like, I will stand for myself, not just for my Jeep, but for the fact that I kissed a girl and I liked it.
Hey.
You did that before you carried. So, you know, long story short, I go to this football game, and everyone's like, oh, everyone's at Pierce's. We're going to go party, leave the football game, show up with 2 of my homies, and I walk in the backyard, and there's about 175 kids in a circle. And Ashley's standing right in the middle. And I was like, is this really happening? You guys set me up. Like, you set me up. Whoa. So I get in front of all of these kids.
This is one of your best friends since elementary school who wants to fight you.
Who wants to fight me. and beat the shit out of me because I'm queer and because
Ashley.
I kiss a girl.
Pull it together.
And everyone else is like, dude, chill the fuck out. Like,
really?
This is so-and-so. Come on, you know this person. Like, yeah. This doesn't change anything here.
Really?
Like,
so there was a lot of people that were
I had
like,
so many supporters, which was surprising, you know? Yeah. And the ones that weren't are, I feel as though they had tendencies and you know.
Do you think your friend did?
I think so. I'm saying it. I haven't said it out loud like this, but I honestly think so. And
yeah, the lady doth protest too much. Yeah. She's got to fight you. Yeah.
So I didn't swing. Yeah.
You know,
she swung first, and after that, I did what I had to do, and I made a statement. And I'm not proud of it. I still ask forgiveness every single day from that. I hurt her. I hurt her real bad.
Whoa.
And I'm not proud of that, but yeah. I am very proud that somebody had to stand up to a bully. And someone stood up to more than one bully. It was 175 kids that stood there and watched that and let that happen.
Ugh.
Not one kid stood up and said, fuck this. I'm not going to let this happen. Not one. And that right there, it told me and it showed me, you're in this. This is you. Mm-hmm. Now pick yourself up by your bootstraps and know who you are and stand in your fucking truth. Yeah. And I did. And after that, I've just been trying to navigate through what I can. And it hasn't been easy. There was a lot that came on that junior year and that senior year, which also caused me not to want to go to school. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of things that people don't know that I went through. I found out that there was some sexual trauma that happened in my past when I just came out in the news, and it involved, you know, someone else in my family. And it was like this huge sting, and nobody knew that. And my dad basically disowned me. Manipulated me with money because my mom and him split young, and my mom couldn't afford to take care of me, and I played ball. I played a lot of sports to keep me happy and safe and not to kill myself. So first time I wanted to kill myself, I was 7 years old. I almost jumped off my house when I watched my mom ride away on the back of a motorcycle with my stepdad. And I knew
Michelle.
That moment. Yeah.
Michelle!
I knew that there was something that I was battling, and there was a lot inside. Good, bad, something I couldn't explain. And yeah.
Was your second grade teacher, was that the first person you felt like really seen by?
Yeah. Totally seen by. And I'd never felt that before.
And how old were you? That was
second grade. So
seven.
Yeah.
Really?
Thank God for her.
Thank God for her, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm happy everything that I went through, because I wouldn't be sitting here with all of you beautiful people right now. Yeah, and definitely anything I do from here on out, it's for the youth and just to know it's okay. You're all right.
Yeah, to have representation too and to see people that you identify with is so important.
Oh, yeah.
In so many different spheres.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel the connection until I moved out here to L.A. I'll tell you, I knew a few trans individuals in Austin before I moved. But the moment I moved out here, it was like, holy shit. That was like everywhere. And it totally different ballgame. I've never felt more comfortable and secure in my temple than I have ever.
Well, I'm a feeling of safety, too, I'm sure. Because
absolutely.
I mean, if you don't know, I mean, you should know that. For people listening, that it's so dangerous. Like, just what you're talking about, it always blows my mind, the anger that people feel. I do understand when people are like, oh, I don't get it. You know, people are scared. But then, like, the fear reaction that translates into anger and violence is so...
common.
Yeah.
You know what else? That, you know, when people are touched inappropriately, like you're saying?
Yeah.
Something about it bothers me. That we attach that to our sexuality.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's a really common issue where, like, people are like, oh, well, oh, like, you know, did you go through something? You know, and, yeah, a lot of people have, queer or not, you know? And it's really hard to live with that where you're like, you want to talk about it and feel safe and accepted and seen and comfortable and also not like you're any less of a queer. Or, I mean, a person
right, the
in
only,
general.
The only reason you're queer is because you like were molested.
Yeah. Well, you're attaching damage to it.
Right.
Like, you are damaged.
Well, then that's really hard.
This is an expression of your brokenness, is what that message is saying.
Yes, absolutely. And that was something I had to unpack, too.
Hmm.
Like, what you're saying, Lee, I identify 1,000%.
And I just recently uncovered with my therapist is, and that feels so good to say, guys, because like, we don't do therapy in our family. We talk about it, which we don't talk about it. So like, it feels so fucking good to be vulnerable with y'all. I just want y'all to know that. So,
oh
like,
my God. No, we also, we talk about therapy every episode of this podcast.
So basically confusing love with trauma. And this individual who was inappropriate with me at a young age, of course, he didn't know the extent of what he was doing. And before that, I loved him. We were best friends. He's the funniest cat in the world, like just this role model in a sense, you know? And it got to the point where he hurt me, and it hurt me, not my feelings, but he physically hurt me, and that's when it stopped. And so after he hurt me, he started to be mean to me, and he started to distance himself. And so I went through this person hurting me, then this person leaving me, and then this person not loving me. Oh. And so I've been confusing love my entire life because of trauma, because of abandonment, because of fucking life. You know, so it's actually, I'm 33 years old, and I'm just now figuring out that, you know, and here, my past partners, I definitely want to send out a love to you, regardless of what we went through, but thank you for being a stepping stone, not a stepping stone, but thank you for being, what am I looking for?
Part of the journey.
Part of the journey.
Yeah, they walked with you.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm working every single day to go back, and I'm healing and rewiring, you know?
Well, like what you're saying is like, to me, such an impactful reason of why something like this, like us sitting together, is so important. Because at the end of the day, someone from a completely different background who has a problem with who you are and who you decide to love is feeling the exact same thing in maybe a different world.
Of course.
And then hearing it from someone like you, you go, oh my God, like we are all the same.
Relating.
We're all, yeah. And it's, and it takes that person. And that's why I, you know, when you're talking about LA, like I remember when I first moved here, and it's just like, you're all of a sudden surrounded by so many different types of people. And, I know when, you know, certain people who sent in DMs to us and questions that were, you know, genuine questions, but maybe misinformed. They're trying to process things. My go-to when it comes to meeting anyone who's different than you is like, you don't see and can't be empathetic until you actually like befriend someone or see someone's story.
Yeah, there's a quote. I think it's actually, my mom was reading Brené Brown.
Brené Brown.
I love Brené.
The broads love Brené.
We love Brené in this house.
Hashtag Brené Broads. No, she says something like, it's hard to hate someone up close. Or some quote like that.
That's so true.
There is a reason she is who she is. She's Brené Brown.
I love, I mean, thinking of everyone as like a baby, your baby, somebody's baby. I mean, that's just the best way to go.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, like, I know for myself personally, and this is something that is like so like yucky for me to talk about because it takes me back to a point that I, you know, this is a moment in my life I wish that I could go back and relive and erase and change. But one of my best friends growing up, again, I was raised a borderline Baptist, went to Baptist college and, you know, whatever, very conservative. And she came out to me when we were maybe 17. And at that point in my life, I had a billion questions. Like I was just like, I don't understand this and this doesn't make sense. And I never was okay with the idea of saying like being gay is wrong. But I looked at her and I regret it for the rest of my life. And we had so many conversations. And instead of just being happy and like opening my arms, being like, let's talk, how can I be there for you? Whatever. I looked at her and I did the like, I'm going to pray for you, but your journey is the incorrect journey. And like, it breaks my heart. And I tell her on Laura, I love you so much. I tell her on a regular basis.
Oh,
it's
Laura,
just
hey,
like,
Laura.
Hey, Laura, that she was so patient with me.
Yes.
And this was her coming out too. Like, this was not an easy thing for her. She's right. coming out in a very Christian community with a family who is extremely conservative. And here she opens up to one of her best friends, and her best friend doesn't like accept her with open arms.
Yeah, but you're such a vital part of that. Like the weed in the garden, you know? Mm-hmm. I can't stop thinking about that lately. Like, when you see a weed in the garden, everyone thinks to want to pull it, but really it's showing you how strong and like healthy your soil mm-hmm. is. You know, it's going mm-hmm. to grow in her garden. She looked at you and trust you. And was able to discover her own feeling even deeper, like what she wasn't willing to walk away from.
Wow. It's so interesting. And she was like that for me, too, because I was having so many questions about everything mm-hmm. ever.
Right.
So mm-hmm. when she like responded to me in that way, and this person who I love so much, and I saw how much this was breaking her apart, how hard this was for her. This wasn't just like some off the cuff decision. Like, this is what I'm going to do this week, honey. Like, this right. was like, this is everything yeah. for her. And I watched her grow and just like blossom into this incredible human being that was like all of us always knew was there too. Like, she was such an amazing person, but she just got better. It was like that broke me down, and that she changed completely, navigated my life in a different direction.
Both of you are butterflies.
Can I jump off of this? Because, yeah. and I'm not saying this actually in regards to your situation at all, because this was your friend, but I just want to say to the listeners, it is not your friend or family member's obligation to educate you or explain things to you. And there are resources, although if they are gracious enough to do so, be thankful for that. But there are resources that you can use instead of asking other people to put in emotional labor to explain things for you.
Give it a Google.
And that's not, yeah, give it
a Google.
There's Google, there's podcasts, and this is not just for queer people, but for Black and brown people's experience too. Instead of being like, well, I don't get this, can you explain why this is painful for you? When you ask somebody a question like that, you're asking them to just dig up, like, and explain their pain to you, and that's not, right. it's not their
well,
job.
Well, on the other end of that, we also don't have to feel obligated to answer either.
Totally.
You can exercise no.
Totally.
Yeah.
No. Set boundaries.
Boundaries.
Set boundaries.
Boundaries. Yeah. Yeah. Boundaries are huge. You know?
I love when you say huge.
Yeah.
You, don't
you
say
got
the
huge.
Huge.
Yeah.
Long Island baby.
I love it.
Okay, let's put a quick period in this and talk about periods.
Oh, that was a cool segue.
Whoa.
You know. Love it.
Thanks, guys.
Technically a semicolon.
Okay, you know what, grammar police? listen, they happen. Periods happen. They are not always fun. I'm on mine right now, but something can make them a little bit better, and that's Lola, the female-founded company offering a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, liners, and all-natural cleansing wipes. I have one of their tampons in right now, and you know what? It's fantastic.
Lola is inside of me as we speak.
It is inside of me.
If we care about the ingredients in the food we eat and the beauty products we use, why shouldn't the same be true of our feminine care products? Unlike other major brands, Lola products are 100% natural. No BS, no mystery fibers, or doubts about what's going in your body. The FDA doesn't require brands to disclose a comprehensive list of ingredients in their feminine care products, so most of them don't. Lola offers complete transparency about the ingredients found in their tampons, pads, liners, and wipes.
Also, Lola makes it easy as possible. Number one, they allow you to customize your box with their products online. And second, they deliver the box straight to your door in time for your period, so you don't have to get up off the couch to go shopping for your feminine products if you are having cramp city or if you just don't feel like it. I live for the convenience, and on top of everything, for every purchase, they donate feminine care products to homeless shelters across the U.S.
For 40% off all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and enter chatty when you subscribe. That's 40% off all subscriptions by going to mylola.com and enter code chatty. Do what's best for your period. Period.
Period.
Also, should we change the word to uterine care products.
We should.
To be inclusive.
There you go.
Wow. I am hating
the word feminine lately, by the way. Speaking of being non-binary and talking about gender, because I get comments all the time about like your hair on your legs isn't feminine and like that's so manly.
I've been
so manly.
My armpits are really long and I don't give a shit.
It's just like, anyway, it's just funny that also I was thinking when we were talking about gender that your gender also isn't, doesn't have to do with how you express yourself like at the same time. Like
how you could identify. How you present is completely different.
The pronoun that, yes, present.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody could want to be, yeah, you want to be identified with a certain pronoun, and then they could wear something that to you in your mind, an idea of what's manly or what's feminine could right. go against how you want to be identified.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How is this all decided?
Yeah.
Who's higher up here? Do we submit? Do we submit a memo?
How did this go down?
Yeah. I have a complaint.
I have, yeah, too. Right? I'm going to write a letter.
I have a suggestion.
Where the fuck's the box?
Yeah. Where's the box?
Where we drop it?
If I had a memo.
You know what I was thinking that about the three of us, at least? Just how I, you know, when you go through traumatic experience when you're younger, and you just create your mind to be so expansive and imaginative so you can escape. Mm-hmm. And how we have...
Oh, my goodness.
Work through wow. our world now and what we do. Drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, creating the music, the platform, acting, modeling, all of it is like expansion of character roles, escapism, like yeah. in so many forms, you know?
That was my one huge escape whenever I was little, or movies, just going away and yeah, getting right. away from it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or being able to, like, because I would low key watch some. With Queers or something, like The Birdcage, you know.
Sure.
That.
God, like, best movie.
Right,
so good.
You know, made it okay.
But I want to get that shirt that he wears in the movie that says straight looking.
Oh, my God. So good.
The crop top that says straight so looking. Because it doesn't.
Not at
the
all.
The shirt I am wearing says fucking queer.
Yeah. Oh, no.
That's so interesting what you're talking about, though, because my, by the way, my sister listens to this podcast, and she's like, you can talk about me all you want.
What's your sister's name for Rice Cakes?
It's her name's
Rice Cakes.
Her name's Rachel, and
hey,
she
Rachel.
Is
hey, Rach.
The coolest. She is the. I have like she's such a like.
She's the coolest, baddest bitch.
She shaves off her eyebrows and lets her like hair grow out.
Oh my God!
Like
Yo.
She.
Can I tell God. You something about that really quickly that I
yes.
just learned? My girlfriend told me yesterday. In Egypt, when a cat dies, they shave their eyebrows off, and the amount of time that it takes for the eyebrows to grow back is a mourning period.
Shut Whoa. The fuck!
How cool is that?
Whoa.
What?
I love Grayson cultures. Should have shaved his so eyebrows cool. off for Buddha Cat.
Oh,
that would have been
yeah.
cool.
Anyway.
Anyway, right. I guess I use this platform sometimes to process through my relationship with my sister. I Perfect. Have four siblings, but it's been very up and down. And she is honestly a lot more comfortable in herself than I am sometimes. And sometimes just I process through my own feelings, like with how I feel towards her about things. And sometimes I realize that it's directed more to myself than to right. her. It's a whole thing. But she, growing up, was always very, like, imaginative and always had imaginary friends and always... And I was like, wow, I just envied her because she yeah. was always able to create these
so
worlds
creative.
For herself. And then now she's, like, a makeup artist and costume designer and all of that. And now she's just in the past... Well, she's just, I won't get into it, but she's becoming more comfortable with herself and her sexuality and her, how she identifies with her partner and the partners she has and all of that. And she's so awesome. And she's taught Beautiful me so human. Much about myself too. It's just interesting the things that are so internalized, you know, like you were talking about your friend who's so angry and the people here are so angry. And I've noticed just for me, and I, like you're saying, I don't like admitting this, but I've always been very comfortable with men who are gay. Like I had a gay boyfriend in high school, except he was straight for me, but but I didn't straight mind family, like yeah. I thought it was I was like yeah. we've talked about this where I was like, well, being gay is wrong, and like I know that blah 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 sleeps with other men and he sleeps with me, but like I don't care, like it's whatever. There was like this disconnect, and I've always felt like I don't care, and I actually like, I think it's really hot. I like when I see, I like gay porn, I like, but then with when women are gay, there's something about it for me that's like,
do you think that it's a portrayal as far as media goes? Because for so many years, like, gay men were just flashed all over our screen and we were, like, okay with that. And then gay
I
women,
I didn't have
wasn't...
a lot flashed across my screen.
Like, oh, I did. I watched all
of just Will and Grace all day.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, there wasn't a lot of portrayal in the media for a long time.
There was no in between.
There was backlash with Ellen. I mean, look at that.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
man.
Like,
that
huge
was tough
backlash.
For her.
And yeah. Then after that, thank goodness, Pioneer, she was, you know, that's when.
But she
really,
had persevered.
Yeah. Oh,
she
of
really
course.
Was.
Of course. But what yeah. I'm saying, Ugh. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I feel as though I would watch more movies
uh-huh.
with gay men than lesbians or, you know,
right.
any queer women or anything.
And if
that
it
matter.
Was, it was, if it was lesbian, I feel like it was often just like hypersexualized.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
It was like, here's two lipstick femme, like all over each other. And like, this is clearly
yeah, this is
just
clearly
for
men.
Yeah. Like, yeah. come on. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think yeah. it's actually maybe just more that I'm uncomfortable with female sexuality in general, be it, and we've talked about this before,
right.
be it straight Yeah, be it hetero or not, it's like I feel uncomfortable with the expression of female sexuality, even my own, even in like a heterosexual context. It's sort of like, and I think that's a Christian thing where I'm like really uncomfortable with women being openly like sexual and free, even though like in my head I'm like, this is good. And in my body I have this resistance and this like, this doesn't like,
you have a lot of young energy. I don't know if I could even blame it on the church or what, but like there's a balance of like your energy, you present very feminine, like you, the word you hate, but you have a lot of young energy flowing through you. Like I can feel it, you know, like taking care and like handling it, you know? Yeah. And that I feel like can be conflicting a lot of times when it makes like, you know, you're like, I feel more young, but I'm like definitely supposed to be more soft or fluid or accepting, you know, feminine.
Yeah. I've felt this resistance within myself where it's like sometimes even in a sexual context, I've fantasized about being a man to be able to have a male experience, because there's something about it.
And me both.
Yeah. Okay. There's something about it that feels more like pure to me, and I don't know how to describe it, but there's something about like, I want to be out of my body and not like that me, Rebecca, doesn't want to be a man, but there's this fantasy of just being somebody completely different.
Well, if you think about just external and internal, like our organs, you know, that external, you're more in control, you're pushing and you're not receiving, which is so feminine and soft and yin and like, you know, it's very vulnerable. You know what I mean?
Extremely. Yeah.
And that's like, I mean, it doesn't have to do with anything, male, female, just energetically.
Yeah.
Being able to receive.
I struggle with that sometimes. It's like I love you, Julia. You're so amazing. But, you know, sometimes she's like, babe, come on. Like, Let me do this. Like, she wants to take full advantage, and you know, and I think it's extremely hot, so sexy. But sometimes, you know, I'm like, it's hard for me. It's very hard for me to receive, because it's not the fact that I don't want it or I'm not attracted to her. It's the fact that I'm dealing with so much trauma, rewiring, and going through that, but not seeing it as so much as negative, seeing it as an experience that I went through and seeing it as something that I grew from and something that I can bring awareness to. But I struggle with that a lot. And again, I'm evolving, I'm growing. I don't even really know what the next card's going to be.
Yeah.
But
relinquishing control, I think, is the key in that space. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. And that's like, I'm working on it, you know, obviously. But having a partner that is right there for me and next to me and holds my hand through this journey is unbelievable. Like, she deals with a lot of shit.
Yeah. Can you speak about your partner?
Oh,
can we talk
totally
about like dating and what that looks like? I think there's so much curiosity.
Before we move on to that,
yeah,
just to touch base on where you're coming from with female sexuality. I've thought about this a lot because there's so many layers I had to unpack in coming out to myself, and one of those big ones, which we talked about on the last episode I was on, was the God thing, the church thing. And we were taught that sex is basically for men.
Yes.
So of course when two men do it, it seems fine, because
there's something
men,
almost like, yeah, like pure primal, like I said, there's almost like primal. Yeah, exactly.
And like, oh, two primal beings are allowed to be primal together. We weren't taught that we have primal instinct.
Yes.
We were taught to save it. So when you see two women with each other, or two female bodied like people,
so many people are like, I don't get it. Like, what do you do? What do you mean fuck?
What do you mean? Like, what is that? What the Lego pieces don't fit. Get creative, right? There are so many. Anyways, besides
fucked,
the point,
but like,
get out of the box.
Get in it, though.
Boom. I'm digging that. Nice.
There's been so many boxes being talked about. Anyways, coming from the church side of things, it's always been celibacy. If a guy does it, it's fine because they're wired that way. We weren't given that excuse. We weren't given that
way. Language.
Right.
Men are wired. They can't help it that they're horny all the time.
We are so sexual. Yeah. Girls are so fucking sexual.
Oh, hell yeah.
And so I think to answer, not to answer it, but to speak to that, like, that was something I battled with too. I was like, why does it feel so foreign? Even when I have these feelings of I want to be with a woman,
mm-hmm. yeah,
and it feels so natural. Why, when I see it, does it? Do I go? Do I have this kind of like
cringe
like feeling? Yeah,
totally.
And it's because that was supposed to be reserved for husbands sure. or men.
Yeah.
And so I had to go. This is not for a man.
Yes,
yeah. My body. I'm gesturing to my bod.
Yeah.
This is for. Like my partner, whoever that yeah. is, does not need to be man. And that was part of my unwiring.
Yeah. And I was just going to say also with like lesbian pornography, it's also a lot of times for men. That's another part of the, that's yes. another, right, that's right, another right, part right. of the ew where you're just like, this is not
forget
like,
it.
This
yeah.
is
yeah,
not.
That, right. The warmest sure, color is the sure. best depiction, I would say. Feels really close to life. That's the only thing
I can't speak
oh, yeah.
to
I haven't watched it, but
person.
I've heard that.
I'm not a
Which
porn
one?
Person either. I've
Blue
never watched porn.
The warmest color.
Oh.
No.
It's a foreign
yeah.
film, right?
It's a yeah, it's a French film.
I need to watch
Man,
that.
It's good.
There's a lot of commentary about it. Good. If you want to watch it, it's what 20 minutes, 12 minutes. It's like a long.
It's a really long.
It's a long scene.
Oh, the sex scene?
Yeah,
it's like the movie.
No, the movie is also
oh,
long.
It's
like, typical form.
The movie is 12 minutes.
Forget it. It's amazing.
No, the scene is, oh, okay. is
shit.
The whole dynamic, the whole thing. She's yeah. like straight, you know, bunny ears, whatever, gay, the whole thing. It's yeah. very wow. accurate depiction. I feel like of a lot of stories I've heard, a lot of stories mm-hmm. that are my own, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's neat. Oh, well, we've yeah. been, sorry, one more thing that we were just, and I also interrupted you, Valerie, and I'm sorry about that. So continue with what.
I mean, I was pretty much.
Okay.
It was the Christian church packaging yeah. of what things ought to look like. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I think we have that so ingrained.
Mm. We also had a tantric teacher on last yeah. week, and she was talking about how it's also very Western, just in general, like Eastern cultures, there is so much goddess worship and female sexuality that's like ingrained in their scriptures and everything, so that like it's very Western for it to be very male focused. Although, and not right. the female
and
pleasure
to, and to speak to that, the indigenous culture that we pretty much wiped out here used to revere two-spirited people. They're called TS, two-spirit mm-hmm. people. They were a revered gender.
That was
unquote.
The first that wow. first resonated with me. When I learned about that, I was like, oh,
yeah, two
wow.
spirit.
I remember
I told about that.
Valerie taught me that too, and I was like, yes, yes,
what?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
yeah, oh my god,
that's
it was incredible, so beautiful yeah. too.
Right, and to not only recognize in your culture that this exists, but that they were a special set apart, like member of the society. Mm. They were looked to for. Very specific certain things. So yeah. they were looked to, oh, do you have a two-spirited person?
Wow.
Here they right. are. They were a revered part of their right. community. What if we did that?
Like a
what
higher
if we
level.
Revered what if we revered two-spirited people well, instead of going, hey, pick a side.
Didn't you yeah. say too that there was like obviously in more ancient culture, like there's a purpose. Like the males do something and the female. And then you were saying the two-spirited individual had a purpose
yeah.
too. Like it was not just like, oh, there they are.
They
kind
have
of doing
a role
their thing.
Just like
they
men
had
and
a
women.
Role. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, so cool.
And that's a thing we yeah. have to kind of like not necessarily undo or rewire, but question is what are these gender roles? And mm-hmm. I think, I mean, that's this whole thing has so many layers. We're looking at societal gender roles of Americans, you know, like we're looking at this whole situation through a specific lens.
Mm-hmm.
There's gender roles, there's gender, there's sexuality, there's presentation, there's spiritual inclinations to everything, like towards everything. There's so many layers. And then trauma, abuse, like you have to unpack so much. This isn't just a question of,
cool. What's your favorite color?
Yeah. Are you LGBTQIA plus, like pick a letter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I think yeah. we would each pick maybe a different letter a day depending. Yeah.
Mm. Well, isn't that kind of funny how there ends up being other sectors of
other
like
qualifiers.
There's binary. Yeah. Then there's becomes like five different things. And
yeah,
I'm even
right.
looking at all of your guys' hair and then I'm like, oh yeah. See,
can we have an H for hair?
We know you are queer because of your hair. You know what I mean? Like there's different ways of
points to Jess who goes to the same hairstylist as me.
Yeah.
Love it.
Does that obviously. Make you queer?
Yeah. Yeah. If you go to Joey Bamrick, you are gay.
Or at least
they want you to be.
She's the first person who chopped all my hair off when I moved to LA.
How special.
My hair was probably down to my hip, but shaved on both sides. So it was this long, like, I don't even know what the hell it was, honestly.
beautiful, loving it. And so basically for a movie, I got picked up on, I had to play, I was playing an F to M, and Jordan shaved my head. And so, like, wow. That was the most euphoric feeling in the world, by the way.
Fucking did you amazing. Feel like you saw yourself? Oh, like when you looked in the mirror?
Yeah, and what's cool is she snapped a picture, and so there was the mirror, and then there was the medicine cabinet. So when she snapped the picture, you could see the side that was shaved, and then you could still see the long on the other side that yes. hadn't been shaved yet. And that person that I could see in that medicine mirror, oh, shit, that's the person that I had been trying to find my entire life. That is the, like, epitome of the G.I. Jane feeling or the Terminator. Like, it was just holy shit.
Yeah, it's ironic that it's on the medicine cabinet. Medicinal purposes.
Oh, my God. God, you're an artist. You're such
objects
an artist.
Objects may seem closer than they appear. Yeah, it's like, you're right there. Yeah. Holy shit.
Oh,
like,
my God.
You've been there this whole time.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
So, Valerie, shout out
that,
to Jordan.
What's that book you're holding?
I brought one of my favorite books. I'm going to give it a shout out. I have no affiliation with the people that wrote it. Other than that, I read it and it helped me a lot. It's called How to Understand Your Gender, A Practical Guide for Ooh. Exploring Who You Are.
That sounds like fun.
It's yeah. really good.
I like personality quizzes, so I have the idea of that book.
Well, it's a lot of getting, like, they have a lot of, there's so much information in here, and they, in the beginning, they speak about how to use the book. You can use it as a resource, like, just keep it in your library and kind of, like, pull it as needed. Because I get bored of the Google searches, and I also don't know where a lot of these resources are coming from, so it's nice to know that these are some, like, well-educated, woke people who got this published. This helped me a lot. I bought it when I was seeing my non-binary baby. And I had some dog-eared things in here that I wanted to read, if you didn't mind.
Please, please.
And then we can get into your partners.
I haven't forgotten. Isn't this a fantastic time to be alive?
Right.
Oh, my God. We were all at Pride together.
Hey, now.
True. Yeah.
Happy
that
Pride.
That is so random because this Pride, they made it so compacted that, like, you could barely even walk. And they had been trying to meet up with people for the entire time they were there. And we met up by
Multiple
chance.
Times.
Three times.
Yeah.
Three times. God. Just, yeah.
Yeah. Just yeah. happened,
coincidence?
So.
I think not.
No.
Yeah, no, actually, if you'll read those, and then we have to just chat one more ad, and then we want to, if you guys would come back at some point, I want to talk relationships then
oh,
and
totally.
Talk dating.
There we go. Yes.
But then after we do a little ad, I want to ask about Pride and I want to ask about allies because that's for our listeners. So please, please read.
So I was reading this morning before I came here, and I thought it was really, goes back to what we were just talking about. It's a section called The Importance of Language. It says, language often shapes our experiences more than we realize. For example, when the generic man is used to mean human, as in mankind, or every man for himself, people who are not men often don't remember what has been said as well and experience lower confidence afterwards than when inclusive language like human or person is used.
Very cool.
This can become a barrier to learning in education or well-being in healthcare. Researchers have also found that we learn through language and images to treat men as the norm, compare women to them. For example, in the way that graphs and tables tend to present data from men before the data of women, and how we generally phrase explanations of any gender differences in terms of how women are different from men. Example, women are more persuadable than men, rather than men are more stubborn than women. For this reason, and then they just go, for that reason, they've tried to, like, mix up what they compare other things to in this book.
Wow.
So, and those are things I didn't even realize were like normal. Like when you look at graphs, it's always men before women. It's always being compared to a man. And like the subliminal stuff, it's power dynamic.
Yeah, it's same with same with whiteness too. It's just it's just making me think of like because I've been it's like the same thing.
Yeah, the subliminal things like when you check. Like, why when you check your race, why are we checking races anyways? But when you check your race, why is Caucasian the first?
Yeah.
Always.
My echo. Oh, my God. No, that's
ad
like,
time.
Ad time. Wow, that's like,
That's like tripping me out. No, I'm just going to notice mankind everywhere and freak the fuck out.
Yeah. let's take a moment to talk about our largest organ, our skin.
Our skin.
We all have skin. Yeah. No matter skin. Who we are or all how humans. We identify, we all have skin. Humans have skin. We all want glowing, healthy skin, right?
Yes.
It's a uniting factor. You can do your best to take care of your skin, but often we do things to our skin that are damaging and potentially harmful for it, like relying on the SPF in our makeup or using the same product all year round or applying your skincare like it's hand cream. These are call outs to me. That's why I was so excited to find out about Beauty by Design.
With Beauty by Design, you never have to make another skincare mistake again. Beauty by Design gives you a completely personalized skincare routine while providing everyday guidance from experts. Their process is super simple. All you have to do is go online, answer a few questions, send a makeup-free selfie, and in a few minutes, you have your, well, when I did it, I had, it was literally 5 minutes, and I had a text, bless, not a call. A text with a personal esthetician, and I was able to tell her about my skin and exactly what results I was looking for.
Yeah, your esthetician picks from her huge arsenal of skincare products to create over 5,000 possible regimens. Shortly after that, they send you an email with a customized package of skincare meant just for you. You only order the products you need when you need them, which I love because there's no aggressive salespeople trying to sell you 1,000 different products. Mm-mm. Shipping and returns are always free. And again, now I can text my esthetician if I have any questions or have skincare needs or changes whenever for life.
I'm happy to report that since using Beauty by Design, my skin... it's looking pretty good.
It looks great.
Thank you.
Thanks. Glowing.
Thank you. It's all Beauty by Design. It's true. So go to beautybydesign.com/chatty and use the promo code chatty. First time customers get 20% off. That's promo code chatty at beautybydesign.com/chatty for 20% off. Okay. So we really specifically wanted to get you all here in this month because this episode will be airing with just a few days left of Pride Month. So I wanted to make sure. I'm like, let's do it in this month.
We are proud 365, just so you know.
Oh,
you know.
But can you talk for a moment about why Pride specifically, like Pride Month, is so important? Because I know that a lot of people very carelessly will say, well, you know, it's the typical, why don't we have a month? Which it's like,
why don't we have straight month?
I'll just say protection and security. Okay. That's one of the biggest keys for us, is because we get to march in front of thousands of people together with thousands of people. And, you know, yes, some people are closeted and that gives them an opportunity to maybe sneak out and be proud and be visible. But, you know, I don't want to always say that protection and security is always there, because we know that it's not, but when we're in mass numbers like that and, you know, we have roadblocks and we do have people standing by watching us be proud and be visible, you know, that this is the time where nobody's going to stand in our way. And like you try and come at one, you're going to have to come through thousands, you know, it's like this pack of just magicness. Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I have mixed feelings about it personally. Like, I mean, talking about that circle with Ashley, the egghead, I you know, feel like that a little bit around Pride events, where I'm like in this epicenter of like, look at us. Here we are. We're so proud. And we're so gay, you know? And I feel like there's like this target energy. A lot of fear comes up for me around like possible hate crimes. And it really overwhelms me to be in those spaces.
Like when we were leaving Pride and everybody was saying, be safe. Be safe.
Everybody, I was like, they're saying be safe.
It's like, it's really overwhelming. God, right, I'm a target.
Well, when you were posting and I was down in Orange County, you were posting from Pride, I literally was like feeling like a little like nervy about like your safety. Yeah. I was just nervous the whole time.
I mean, a big part of it personally is that I hope for us to just exist, like I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So drawing attention to the queer community, and it almost feels like we're doing what they are doing, you know, by being together like that, so strong, and like, look at us, and you're not, and even though we welcome all, and you know, you don't have to be gay to be at Pride, that's a common misconception. You're like, oh, but I don't know. I guess that comes up for me. I would be lying if I said that didn't haunt me in these, like, you know, these experiences.
Mm. Mm. That baby
I know. She's just staring right at you. I know. Like, oh, my ovaries are crying right now. Oh my God. Yeah.
But that being said, on the other side of it, I'm so grateful. You know, yeah, I know that all these things take place. They have to. And I want to be a part of it. It won't stop me from being a part of it. That's just my truth with it.
You know? I guess where I stand is, you know, I do come from a small town. And, you know, Texas, we have Houston, Dallas, San Antonio. But there were no pride parades where I grew up, you know, like... So I guess I see it as like a chance to be out and be seen and be visible and be proud. And, you know, for that 12-year-old kid, or that one parent that is their ally, they get to take them somewhere and let them just do their thing, you know.
Also, to speak to your point, I think you're saying like, why not? Why don't straight people get a straight pride? And it's because, like, I think what people...
Well, I'm not saying that.
No.
I stand right.
I think it's the same reason why when people say, like, why isn't there a White History Month? And the answer to both of those questions is because straight people get representation, like, all the time. The reason why we give a month is to... That's disgusting.
Get a little something there?
Oh, yeah. Lord. So the reason we set aside a time is to just for a fraction of the moment, like, make it about people who don't get it to be. I mean, like, when we talk about mainstream movies, when have you ever just seen, like, a normal movie that's just about two gay people falling in love? That's not, like...
Just blown out.
Yeah, that's right. Brokeback Mountain. Yeah. Or even like, I remember when I saw Call Me By Your Name, I was just like, it's so good.
Is it so good or is it so good?
It's,
I can't so believe how good it is.
But I just remember like, I haven't seen very many movies where I've just seen two gay characters hold hands and it just be like a normal first kiss. Like all these just like very normal things we take for granted as straight people.
It's coming. It's called High Pretty and we're filming it in November.
.com.
High Pretty.
That's cute. Yeah.
That is really cute. But representation.
Yeah, representation.
You know? There's no normal representation. Yeah, that's why we take the time and energy out.
This was my first pride.
Yeah.
My first pride that I was ever at.
I took your pride card. I'm so pumped.
Oh, yeah, that was my first pride. Well, because I came out, I would say, like, officially, like, to the masses just in the new year.
I remember.
Or, like, before the new year.
Wow.
So I say I'm welcome proud 365. Home. I haven't actually made it 365 yet, so hit me next June.
Wow.
But because there was so much shame involved in coming out in the church.
Yeah.
So the thought of being proud was even like what?
Mm.
Like, so to be proud for me, this year's pride meant a ton to me because it was the first time I made myself visible.
Mm. Wow.
I was the one giving representation.
And did you look fine?
Yeah,
doing it. And also, can I just bring up that a sweet person came up and wanted to take a picture with Valerie because Valerie is such a badass.
Yeah. Badass.
Drummer, everything. Oh, yeah. I took pictures of the pictures.
Yeah, one of Haley's fans spotted me.
Oh my God, cute.
Like, oh, wow. Oh,
yeah. It's like, you're like, amazing. They were so red and nervous and took a picture. It's like, it's amazing.
So sweet.
High vibes. The vibes are high.
Yeah. And the whole time, I keep telling people about this dynamic. Like, whenever we were together, we were like, look at them. Aren't they beautiful? Oh my God, look at them. Aren't they beautiful? Oh, look at this person, aren't they? Oh my God, everybody's so beautiful. Aren't you so happy to be gay? and you always do that thing. Aren't you so happy to be gay? Yes or no?
Yes or no?
Like, immediate answer. I was like, yes. So it was so cool to be able to step up for the people who still are ashamed, for the people who still are in the closet. I had a piece commissioned recently that I just got that I'm super happy about that's hanging in my studio now. It's huge. It's like six feet by 4 feet. It's hanging above my drum set in my studio. And it says, drag me through the mud. I look better dirty.
Yay! Amen.
Because I was so consumed with everybody gossiping, slinging mud. Like, go ahead, drag me. I found out I look better dirty. Like, throw it at me.
Yes.
You make me more beautiful.
Yep.
Like, I'm still going to be here.
Yep.
Covered in mud or not.
Woke up in the same body.
Yeah. So I say that as an encouragement to people who are terrified of gossip, mm-hmm. terrified of being being dragged through the mud. They're of encountering got the horror of yeah. of 175 kids in a circle.
Yeah, I'll never forget that image.
Yeah,
and I can't wait to reshoot it. Dude. I cannot wait to reshoot it.
Dude, that's insane.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all so much. This is like, this really means a lot.
Thank you
for
broads.
Both of us. Are you kidding?
Thanks for having us. And
this is just like, I feel like such going to be such an encouraging message, not only for our listeners who just are wanting to learn more, but also maybe some of our broads who, like you said, aren't maybe comfortable feeling yes. dragged through that dirty.
Gender is a broad topic.
Mm. It is very broad.
Yes, it is. And on that note, we're going to drag you all back to do a dating episode.
Yes. Right. Yes. And so fun.
And until next time.
Dating in the queer community.
Oh,
until next
that's
time.
Fun.
I think Ruthie had a blowout, so I feel like she
might. See it.
She did
it
all over.
I love
shit
it.
On these walls, right? Yeah.
You look better dirty, baby.
Do you mind if we make plugs?
Yeah, plug. Sure. Plug away. Please. Plug away. Yeah.
Plug on.
Please.
I also have a podcast, I said before.
Yes.
It's called Behind the Beat. Give it a listen. Follow if you'd like. I'm also super pumped. I am releasing today a new drum cover video on my YouTube
yes.
channel.
Nice. Yes.
I didn't even
so
know
amazing.
You had
a YouTube channel.
It's I'm getting back into it.
Nice.
I haven't posted for a couple years, but I'm dusting it off and doing it again. It's 11 minutes by Halsey.
Yeah.
Keeping it queer.
Yes.
Love. It's really, really fun. No spoilers. You'll just have to go see it. It's yeah. it's traumatic.
Tori's
seen it.
I
she
love
knows.
It. I love it. It's amazing.
But yes. What do you
think? Thank you for having me.
Oh my God.
I'm Tori Wolf. I am every day coming out more and more on my Instagram by posting inappropriate, beautiful pictures.
Oh, I love your sapphic your sapphic posts.
I could only hope that it would so make happy. Someone take a double or triple take.
Oh, like, oh yeah. Can everyone plug their Instagram handles? I think that's what everyone
has. @CValDrum SEEVALDRUM.
Yes. Tori.
Tori Wolf, TORIIWOLF.
Lee Dawn Hershey, and it's @ Lee Dawn Hershey or Girls with Flair.
Dawn,
DAWN.
Okay.
Yes. I guess my plug is have a feature film coming and directing it, writing it, executive producer. It's going to be killer. Literally. Don't even talk about
cliffhanger.
Yeah. Yeah, just stay tuned. Madonna have a big music video that I was in with Madonna and my partner coming out.
Yes. Amazing.
Probably the end of the month for World Pride. So,
so
yeah,
cool.
Just stay tuned.
Amazing.
That. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Thank you guys so
broads.
Much. All right, broads. Chat soon.
Chat soon.
Chat soon.
Chatty.
Chats.
Chats.
Keep it chatty.